In the epistle, St. Paul writes, all did eat the same spiritual food and drink the same spiritual drink, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Two lasting impressions from my week at our seminary, and both have to do with nourishment. The first thing they do in the morning is to go to the chapel and to pray together in silence for half an hour meditation, 6:20. That was very impressive, to be in a room full of men all meditating on God and the things of God, the only noise being the rooster or two in the distance, and then the beep, beep, beep that symbolizes that someone's already started up the machinery for a work day. But these seminarians begin their work by meeting together to pray. And then the other thing I have to admit was the fact that three square meals are on offer every day there at the seminary. And I eventually had to mention something to the seminarians in a conference and to say, gentlemen, this is paradise. Look, we have blue skies, it's January, and there's sunny weather in the 60s or the 70s, and you get to pray all day long. And three times a day, you go into the refectory, the dining hall, and they feed you. You just sit down, and someone puts a plate of food in front of you. Is this heaven or what? It is easy, I suppose, for any of us to take those things for granted. The clergy don't. I have to admit that of late we've been a little preoccupied with how to feed all of the priests, especially here during the week, because we can't quite afford to hire a cook. And we do depend confidently on the charity of others, but sometimes we're left to our own ingenuity. At the seminary, they have a lovely lady, very devout. Her name is Dorothy, and she prepares two meals a day for the seminarians 6 days a week, so faithfully. And then there's desserts, too. And even though it was a retreat and silent, what they do is the waiter, the seminarian whose turn it is to wait on table, holds a little chart in front of you, and you just point out which dessert you want, and then they bring it to you. It's really better, even, than a restaurant. Now, in a spiritual sense, I was thinking, this reminds me of our church, to which I was very happy, nonetheless, to return on Friday afternoon. You just come in. Of course, you have to come. You just come in, and you, as it were, sit down and tuck in, and you are fed spiritually the whole time, because there is someone the whole time behind the scenes, as it were, in God's kitchen, who is working to achieve this 7 days a week in the sacristy or in the sanctuary, the celebrant, the servers, the music, the organ, the choir, its preparation, the shrines, the candles, to say nothing of heating and cooling and cleaning and lighting, and all of the rest. What a sense of gratitude we should feel for this paradise. Do you? I often feel it keenly, and you should too. As they say, a gratitude attitude marks every good Catholic. But this spiritual food, which is fed to you each week, the spiritual drink which comes to you from the rock, which is Christ, is not enough. St. Paul says that back then in the Old Testament, with most of them, God was not well pleased. More is required than simply showing up and tucking in and drinking deeply. Oh, gratitude is certainly part of it, but I'm thinking as well of a certain kind of hunger which, after we've been fed, should still not be satisfied, a charity for starving souls subjected to burning thirst, to a devouring hunger. and a terrible void produced by the absence of God, who is the food and the drink of the soul. We call them the church suffering. They've always been neglected down throughout the ages. Rarely have they been fed regularly. But today, as never before, they are abandoned, consumed with their own hunger, dried up, and burning with thirst. Some of you kindly do a dinner from time to time for the priests, and you drop it off, and we're so grateful. Nothing fancy is required, just a few dishes. I thought I'd put a little ad in here, as long as I was at it. We're wondering if a few more of you might be able to help once a month or every other month to feed the hungry clergy. You know that God would reward you for that, and I thank you for thinking of us. But I'm wondering, who's thinking of them? They're not seen, you see, the poor souls in purgatory. In the magnificent Gregorian chant of today's introit, which goes back to Pope St. Gregory the Great, who chose it himself, we sing about the groans, the gemitus, that means the sighing of death surrounding us. And then in the gradual, after the epistle, we remember in the words of King David, the poor man shall not be forgotten forever. But who thinks of the poor souls? Who doesn't forget them? Oh, sometimes, November, All Souls Day, we remember to gain those indulgences. And at a funeral, I imagine, an anniversaries. When I remember it's so-and-so's anniversary, and I see some family member in the pews at daily mass, I'm always so touched that someone didn't forget. But for the rest, the sighs of death do surround us, but we manage not to hear. And even good Christians, you got up early this morning to run the race. You put your trainer shoes on first thing, and you're laboring already in the vineyard, and look, it's Sunday. But we do it for ourselves, and perhaps a small group of others in the family or friends, mostly living, for whom we may give masses and pray. But the poor souls, and even our own poor souls, whose sighings should surround us, we don't hear. A good reminder was given us a year or two ago at our annual All Saints Purgatory presentation. I think it was the best one I've ever seen, really, from the Arling House children. And the little children, there were enough of them in a big family, each one was able to step forward and say, I'm hungry. The other, I'm thirsty. I'm cold. I'm hot. But who hears those groans anymore? Who will ensure that the poor man is not forgotten unto the end? And to the end of a life, dear Catholics, is the beginning of eternity, world without end. Amen. Remember me, at least you, my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Already Job in the Old Testament makes that request. Who remembers anymore? The dead are soon forgotten. It was always thus. But now, for a generation or longer, purgatory and the strict justice and the judgment of God are gone, denied openly. And it is the suffering souls, denied their prayers and suffrages, which suffer most. and in numbers probably beyond our own human calculations. Not only does every funeral, sometimes even amongst us, traditional Catholics, carry its own canonization. Oh, I'm sure he's in heaven. Oh, you are? Well, who told you? How do you know? But the greatest means of helping the holy souls, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, has been abolished by the changes, replaced with a meeting and a communion service, right along with the doctrine of purgatory, the true holy sacrifice, the valid and the pure oblation. The few Masses that are still being said, the world calls them Latin Masses, often are not really Masses at all, because the man conducting the service was never validly ordained a priest, once again, because of the changes. And others are not holy for all of the words and all of the circumstances, because they are offered with and in the temple of Antichrist. And how could God be pleased with that? But our needs are many, you might object. We the living, we've got bills to pay, and I'm worried about my children and my grandchildren and my health, and I've got this intention and that. And how to manage the dead as well? A purgatory full of them? When I have already so much and so many to pray for, I can't be in church all day long. Who would feed me? I hope, by God's grace, to answer these and other questions during the coming season of Lent, which we devoutly dedicate this year to our dead who died in the Lord, the poor souls, as we call them, to learn about them, to love them, and to let them, at the last, after so long a neglect, to let them in, to come in and to sit down, and as they say in Kentucky, get you a plate, serve yourself well. You are at the banquet of life. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.